if you read not from the Greek Bible, but if you read it from Latin, Jesus said to his disciples after he washed their feet, he says, "This is a new command that I give to you, right? As I have done for you, you go do for others. As I have served you, you go serve others," right? Because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He says, "This is a new command that I give to you." The Latin translation of "this is a new command" is, "This is a new mandate." Mandi, mandate, stem words, they're related. This is the new command that we should, you know, it's like the golden rule. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go serve others, right? So this was the foot washing. And notice here, he didn't send out Judas just yet. Whose feet did Jesus wash? All 12 disciples. And which disciple was also in that lineup? Judas. He knew exactly what Judas was going to do. Don't just serve people who love you back. That's easy. Serve people who are going to persecute you. That is radical. That's radical. You know, we live in a world, I'll love you because I'll get love back. I'm kind to you because you're kind to me. Christianity says, bless those who persecute you, right? This is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. So,
well, Jesus was about ready to make a huge decision to serve us. And so I think the point you're making about Monday, the idea of washing enemies' feet, is like we should wake up every day knowing that we're called to love everyone.
Yeah.
We're called to be kind to everyone.
Yeah.
We don't differentiate. We just do our best to.
And we pray for our enemies. We pray for those. You know, while we might say, man, I really just wish certain people would just, you know, stop doing what they're doing. But I'm like, man, but if they came to know Christ,
they would stop doing what they're
they
doing.
They would, yeah. You know. Yeah. That's our prayer for people. You know, so we got Passiontide Sunday leading into the suffering servant. Then we get to Palm Sunday. He's coming into Jerusalem. He's flipping the tables. He's setting up the stage, telling his disciples, get ready for a Seder. He washes his disciples' feet that Thursday evening. He goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays to his heavenly Father. He says, in blood, sweat, tears, you know, not my will, but your will be done. Then it's Judas who sold him out after Jesus had said, you know, go do what you must do. And he said, you know, get behind me, Satan, talking to Peter, who wants to defend Jesus. And it's just hours before his crucifixion. You know, Jesus has now denied Christ three times, saying, I don't know this guy. He got so upset over this little girl. He even cursed, you know, and then he felt bad because the rooster crowed the third time.
Yeah,
he gets before Pontius Pilate and he says, what's truth? Why are you here? Pontius Pilate is actually looking for a way to give Jesus an out in some ways until he finally washes his hands. And what did the Jewish people say about, well, maybe instead of me making the decision, I'm going to let you guys make it. You want me to let go of this prisoner or you want Jesus? So they let go of Barabbas, and they said to Jesus, crucify him. Now we're just hours before that Good Friday, probably between the 12th hour of the day to 3 p.m. And that's why a lot of churches might do Good Friday service at noon to kind of represent that, and others do it maybe around 6 o'clock, and they'll have an evening service, but it's on Friday. And the third day, which is Friday and then Saturday and then Sunday, that's 3 days. That's how we get to that third day. We remember his resurrection. One of the unique things that I think about, and this was in my studies in seminary, I never knew it until you kind of get into the weeds and details. But a lot of pastors, maybe leading up to Easter Sunday, they'll preach on the seven statements that Jesus said on the cross, right?
Yes.
Do you recall a few of the things that he said?
Yeah, I mean, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And that one always hits me about the way
that's the one I want to talk about.
Yeah, the way we interact with people. You know, we need to go into every relationship knowing that we're in front of a person who potentially and really we should look at them as forgiven because we're coming to them with the love of Jesus. And we know it's the love of Jesus that leads people to repentance. So, you know, the concept of Jesus saying, forgive them. I think that's a great way to live, you know, forgiving people, you know.
Jesus absolutely said those seven things while on the cross. But I think one of those statements he said more than just one time. In the writings, and you could read this in the Gospel of John, the way it's said, yes, he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. Yes, he said, this day you'll be in paradise talking to the other thief on the cross. But the statement where he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The Bible, if you read it, says Jesus kept on saying. That's present progressive tense. It's kind of like I'm mowing the lawn, I'm doing it over and over. It's active and it's ongoing. It's as he's hanging on the cross, he says, Father, forgive her, for she did not know what she was doing. Him. And he kept on saying over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Jesus died for you. I think this is what really got my heart to realize. God didn't die for this unknown group of people. And either we get to be in that group or not, and that's our decision. Jesus knew David Usher when he was on the cross. Just as much as he was looking at all of his disciples and forgave each and every individual person. This is why we can say he's forgiven you your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. Jesus died for David Usher. Jesus died for Trevor Rayburn. Jesus died for you listening right now. He knows you by name. Your name is written in the book of life. He didn't die for a random group and he has no clue who those people are and doesn't even know. No, his every blood of Christ totally forgives. It's not wasted. It's not like it couldn't save. Every blood drop saves. And so we don't know who those people are. I don't. You know, we call them the elect, but I don't know who the elect are. I don't go around Vero Beach and lifting up people's shirts, and if they got an E on their belly, I'll preach the gospel to them. All I know is go and preach the gospel, and you let the Lord do that work. Like you said, Jesus forgave people, so we should treat them as forgiven in the sense of then let's go share the gospel with them. Let's ask them questions. But so Jesus there on the cross, Father, he kept on saying over and over and over again, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
Well, you know, I've often thought that the biggest form of pride in many of our lives is that we think we've done things that we can't be forgiven for, that we've really messed up so greatly that, you know, I just can't do this anymore in terms of their relationship with God. And I always say, listen, there's nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot forgive and cannot cleanse you from.
Yeah.
But it is a childlike faith that we come to in the end where Jesus says, be like a child, you know, accept these great truths and it'll change your life, your heart, and your eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, for me, when I think about Easter, I think it's really the culmination of the greatest love story in
ever told. You know, and then finally, it was Jesus, as it's written in the scriptures, he gave up his breath. He gave up. No one took it from him. He freely gave up his life. In fact, Jesus prophesied that that's how it would end. And then also we see him buried in the tomb. And this is kind of unique. You know, it's one thing to, if I make a promise to you, I can fulfill it as long as I'm living. Like I can make promises and just do them. But if I die, I can't fulfill my promise, right? Yet in Jesus' death, it was prophesied that a rich man, this comes from Isaiah 53, he would be buried in a tomb of a rich man. And there it was, Joseph of Arimathea, who took his body from the cross, placed it in his tomb, a very special tomb. And it was then on the third day that Jesus was risen. And like in his death, where Jesus can't make choices, he's buried in a rich man's tomb. And he comes to life, as he says, tear this body down and I'll build it up in 3 days. And, you know, he's fulfilling all that he's promised. And then this is why we come together Easter Sunday. This is why we have church on Sundays, not Saturdays, church on Sundays, is to remember every Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus.
Well, Trevor, this is probably a great time to really invite somebody listening to make a decision.
Yeah.
You know,
if you've been listening, if you have feeling that tug on your heart, listen, my prayer for you right now is that God would change your life, take away, as he did for me, that stony heart. Listen, and if he's given you that beating heart of fluff, run after him. You know, Romans chapter 10 says, if you say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, that you would be saved. And today is the day of salvation. And we would want you, even before Easter Sunday, even before Palm Sunday, commit your life to Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
I think the subject we've been talking about is the greatest subject to really ponder at this time in our Christian is to reach out to others. Right now is a great time to invite people to church because
bring
them to church. You know, I mean, it's a great time for people who, you know, will come to church on an Easter or Christmas. You know? And no heavy message you need to mention to people. You just simply need to invite them. Say, hey, how would you like to come to church with us? It's Easter, you know, and the message of Christ, I really believe this Sunday is going to be proclaimed about I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And so, Trevor, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate you coming in. Any final thoughts or wishes for the people?
Come worship with us, Morningstar Church, every Sunday, 10 a.m.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Trevor. God bless you.
Hey, see ya.
All right.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us at 772-324-9313.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solis Roofing Contractors Incorporated. Solis Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solis Roofing Contractors Incorporated, licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solis Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
So you're pregnant, and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.